Well, when I was growing up, I had two friends who were very dear to me. They were very dear to my heart, but they were also very, very different. And I want to share with you a little bit about these two guys who were my good friends growing up. And with one of them, he was my surfing buddy. And we used to go, he was actually one of the guys who taught me how to surf when I was in high school. And so we would go on the weekends surfing, or sometimes we wouldn't go to school, we would just go surfing. And we would paddle out there, and he was just happy as a lark when we were going out, the big smile on his face. And then we would do the whole surf talk thing. So he'd catch a wave, he'd come back, and he'd be like, dude, did you see that wave? I just went down, and boom, I slammed it off the top, and I returned with some of my surf talk. I don't know how we learned how to talk like this, but then I would say, dude, that was gnarly. That was such a gnarly wave. I don't know where we got these terms from, but he was such a happy guy when we paddled out. And then it wasn't even like an hour later, we would just finish surfing and we would go up to the top of this little bluff up there, this cliff. And with his toes just hanging over the side of the cliff, he would just be looking out and he would just be bawling. He would be crying and he would be saying, I hate life. And I thought at first that he was joking, because nothing happened in between us surfing and having a great time and his huge smile on his face and him thinking about skydiving without a parachute. And so I thought he was joking, but I was young at that time and I didn't realize what was going on. But I saw just two completely different personalities within this guy. Now, I had another friend, and this other guy was just the funniest guy that you'll ever meet. We would be sitting around and he would have us all just belly laughing. He was just this joker, and he had this witty sense of humor. And so we just sit around, we're just laughing. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, he was like this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde character, if you're familiar with that story or those movies. And all of a sudden, this Mr. Hyde character would come out of nowhere, and his face would just turn angry. He was like a completely different person. And he would start yelling, and then he would want to fight us. And he did. He would fight some of my other friends, and they're on the floor, and they're just bleeding. And this came out of nowhere. And that made some slumber parties pretty interesting. And pretty scary, because you didn't know when Mr. Hyde would just come out and attack us. And we love the guy, he's very dear to my heart, but thankfully for both of these guys, they were able to see doctors and get the medication that they needed in order to subdue these Mr. Hyde personalities that they had within them. They needed that medication. Growing up, I didn't realize what was going on, but this morning, you may be shocked to hear that God's word actually says that as Christians who believe in Christ and know Christ, that all of us actually have two different personalities within us. They wage war within us. Some of us might be shocked to hear that, but for this morning, we're going to hear from the Apostle Paul, and he's going to be talking about his own life and his own Mr. Hyde within him. This other personality that wages war within him, that's for every Christian. And just know that as he's talking about his Mr. Hyde, he's not just talking about himself, but he's talking about our Mr. Hyde, your Mr. Hyde as well. So from our scriptures this morning, from Romans 7, you can turn there, pull out your notes, write some notes there. In Romans 7, he's going to be talking about his Mr. Hyde, but also yours as well. And we'll see what Mr. Hyde is like. But the bigger question, the more important question, is how can we overcome this Mr. Hyde in our lives? And what is the cure? What's the cure to living a very fulfilling and joyful and good life, the life that God wants you to live, where it's not constantly being attacked by Mr. Hyde with him controlling your life? So what is this, the cure? That's the bigger question. We're going to be looking at it secondly. But how can we be living a successful life, successful in God's eyes, not the world's eyes, but successful in God's eyes, and a Godward life, where you're constantly growing in your relationship with God and growing in your faith and your love for him, and not being controlled by this Mr. Hyde? So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 7. Now, just to let you know, what is Mr. Hyde like? It's going to say, Apostle Paul is going to say that he's evil. Now, it's also referred to in the Bible as your flesh. And our flesh is so evil, can be evil, often terribly evil. So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 7, beginning with verse 15, and we'll see this very evil Mr. Hyde, this flesh, that can rule us even sometimes. Romans 7 says this. The Apostle Paul says, I do not understand what I do, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. For in my inner being, He says, I delight in God's law. I delight in God's good law. I want to do it, but I see another law at work within me. He's referring to the flesh now here, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Again, that's a reference to his flesh or his Mr. Hyde at work within me. And then he says, what a wretched man, what an evil man that I am, because I give in to this Mr. Hyde, this other personality within me. And so what is the evil flesh within you and within me as Christians? What is the evil flesh like? Well, it is very, first of all, very powerful and very controlling. And you got a sense of that from the Apostle Paul's writing when he's saying, I want to do good. I want to be obedient to God, to have this loving obedience. I set out to do what is good, but then I find myself doing the very opposite of what I want to do. I find myself sinning against God. And so we get a sense of just how powerful our evil flesh, this Mr. Hyde, is. It's very powerful, very, very controlling also. Now, our flesh is also, secondly, it's so sinful. Sometimes it's okay, but sometimes it just loves to sin. It loves to, for example, slander. It loves to talk about other people, put them in a negative light. Maybe you can think about a time. Maybe you can recall a time in your life when you maybe talked about someone, put them in a negative light for whatever reason. And in Hawaii, amongst Pastor Ed's people, they call it talking stink. So when I was growing up, my mom would always, you know, kind of overhear me and my friends talking in California here, but we'd be bagging on each other, bagging on our teachers, bagging on other people, and she would barge in the room and she would say, why are you guys talking stink? You guys always talk stinks. But maybe you can think of a time in your life when maybe you were talking stink about someone, just putting someone in a negative light, talking about them, and maybe you felt really guilty, you know, just convicted by the Holy Spirit, having talked about them, slandered them, maybe gossiped a little bit. You felt really bad, and so you said, God, I promise I will never slander ever again. I'll never gossip. I'll never say anything negative about anyone. I promise. I feel guilty because of your Holy Spirit and maybe because your mom or something like that. Said I'd never do it ever again. But then maybe it wasn't even a couple of weeks later. Maybe it was just a few days later that you realize that you're doing it again. And so you're so what? You're so frustrated. And just saying, God, I'm so sorry, but there it is again. Mr. Hyde, the flesh, powerful and controlling. The flesh also loves to lust. And so maybe you caught yourself. Maybe you can remember a time in your life when you kind of lusted and you thought to yourself, man, I'm never going to lust ever again. Lusting after someone or something, something shiny or whatever it may be, something that God doesn't want you to have, and you know it. And so you felt bad. You said, Lord, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes, as Scripture says, and I'm never going to lust, I promise you. But maybe it wasn't even a few days later. Maybe it was just a few hours, a few minutes later, you found yourself doing it again. And so you're frustrated and saying, man, I'm so frustrated with this Mr. Hyde, this flesh in my life. It loves to sin. It also loves to, just overall, loves to rebel. Your flesh, our flesh, just loves rebelling against God's law, his good law. So we're going to be studying that in our journey groups this coming week, but God's law are his commands, what he desires for us. And 10 of the most popular commands are the 10 commandments. I just want to reveal these to you this morning. The very first one, you know, it's not to have any false gods. Don't worship any other god but the one true and living God, Jesus Christ, Yahweh. That's one. The other one is very similar to it, but don't make for yourself any false gods. Don't make for yourself any idols. And so we constantly need to be asking ourselves the question, do I have any false gods? Do I have any idols in my life? And I think that for most Christians, our very first response to that at face value is, no, God, I don't have any other gods. You can see in my house, I don't have any little statues or figurines of Zeus. I don't have any little pudgy statues of Buddha that I worship or anything like that. I just worship the one true and living God. But the Holy Spirit then asks the question, well, what about within your heart? And an idol is anything that you trust as much as God, or even more than God. And so it could be money, it could be people. And I think if we're honest, we'll see all these idols within our hearts that we trust as much as God, or even more than God. Maybe our careers, And an idol is also something that you enjoy as much as God, or even more than God. And there's a lot of things, I think, if we're honest, that we would say, God, I have so many idols in my heart because I enjoy, maybe it's sports, or maybe it's entertainment, maybe it's video games. Whatever it is, I think that we'll be honest, and if we ask ourselves this question, what are the idols of our hearts? We have a lot of them. Another question that we need to ask ourselves, based on God's good law and the flesh, is what form of law breaking does your flesh, your particular flesh, like? All of our flesh is a little bit different. Our flesh is powerful and controlling and loves to do evil things, but a little bit different. So maybe for you, your flesh is not so much into stealing, but maybe it's into being entertained a little bit more, or maybe it's into complaining, whatever it is. And so just take a couple of seconds just to write down two or three tendencies that your flesh has, two or three kinds of sins, law-breaking, that your flesh likes to do. Just take a couple of seconds here and just kind of jot them down, even while I'm speaking. Just jot some of those things down. What form of law-breaking does your flesh like? Now, the bigger question then is, what is the cure? What's the cure for overcoming that Mr. Hyde, that flesh in our lives, and for living a very faithful life, that fulfilling life that God wants you to live? That's the bigger question, the more important question. And the cure actually has three parts to it. From Scripture, we know there's actually three different parts. And the very first one is, hear only your spirit. Listen only to your, know what your spirit is saying to you. We know what our flesh is saying because it's constantly speaking to us, and it's very loud. But have the discipline in every single minute of your life and in every circumstance to also know what your spirit is saying. So hear both voices speaking to you. And your spirit, our spirit, our new spirit, is actually God's gift, a very gracious provision for us. And it's more powerful than the flesh, but it's your secret weapon against the flesh. And so we need to be able to hear both voices, but know what your spirit is saying to you, not just your flesh. And chances are, if you're only hearing one voice, you're only hearing your flesh's voice speaking to you. So we constantly need to hear both voices. The flesh is very loud. The spirit is actually constantly speaking quietly. It's more powerful, but it speaks quietly and just whispering to us, whispering to you. And I want to give an example from my own life. Several years ago, actually many years ago, when I was serving at this one youth camp, we were there, and it was toward the end of the week, and all these students were there, all these youth were there, and they were just having a great time. Many of those students just gave their lives to Christ, and they were just overjoyed. All their friends there were overjoyed, and they were just worshiping the Lord during this one worship service in the morning. And I was looking around. I was looking at all these youth, all these kids, and they were just loving to worship the Lord, totally into it, energetic. And I was just thinking, I'm so bored. I've probably sang this song maybe 1,000 times, and I'm pretty tired and sleepy. I just spent the whole week trying to sleep next to these guys who are snoring, and so I didn't get much sleep. And on top of all of that, I was thinking, I'm just flat out hungry. This camp food is for the birds. I need some real food. And so, to be honest with you, while all these kids were just loving to worship the Lord, here's one of their leaders, and I was not into it at all. I was actually looking for the exit and just wondering if I could sneak out and just get some real food. Maybe even just McDonald's would do. I mean, I'll just sneak out, come back. But then I realized that I was actually listening to the flesh speaking to me. That's all the things that the flesh loves to do, to be entertained. It's bored by worship. It loves to sleep, and it loves good, delicious food. Those are all the things that the flesh wants. And so I just remember, just in the midst of all of this loud and energetic worship, just quietly praying to the Lord and just saying, Lord, help me to hear my spirit. Help me to hear my spirit and your Holy Spirit speaking to me through my new spirit, and just let me hear that still, quiet voice in my heart. And after a few minutes of just praying that, I finally heard my spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking through my spirit, just saying, are you crazy? I mean, look at these kids. They're worshiping the Lord, and what better way to spend our time than to be in God's creation? It's beautiful up there amongst God's beautiful creation with God's people, his family, and they're just pouring out their hearts, thanking God for his salvation, how great he is, and you're just bored. And I could just hear my spirit saying, come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's give him the worship that he deserves. Our spirits just love Bible study, praying, and just worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If I remember that very distinctly, and I was still hearing the flesh and all that it wanted to do, but there was this battle, this conflict. But that's the very first thing that we need to do, is to be able to at least hear your spirit speaking to you, not just your flesh, but your spirit as well. I'll give you another example. Just imagine you're at school or you're at work, and just imagine that you just realized and found out that there's some people who are saying some negative things about you, spreading rumors with lies, the worst kind of lies, half-truths. So there's just enough truth for other people to believe it, but there's lies, and then you realize that other people are thinking less of you because of these lies, because of the slander that's going around. Now, within your flesh wants to do what? Our evil flesh wants to get angry, just turn around. It wants revenge. Maybe you have a very aggressive flesh, and then so it wants to fight these people, or maybe at least just yell at these people, or maybe you have more of a passive-aggressive flesh that's still angry, wants revenge, but just thinking, how can I start my own rumors and get my own group going and attack these people in that way? That's what the flesh loves to do. But just have the discipline to just spend some time in praying and asking God to help you to hear your spirit, the new spirit speaking to you, to hear that other voice and the conflict that's going on. Your new spirit is saying, no, forgive. Forgive these people. Just forget about it. Overlook this sin. Who cares if people think less of you? How can you hold this one sin against them, or maybe two or three or four sins against them, when God the Father is constantly forgiving you for thousands of sins? How can you hold this one or two sin against them? And so just forgive. Now you're hearing both voices, but that's the very first step of the cure, is to hear your spirit speaking to you, not just the flesh. Now you might be sitting there, some people might be sitting here thinking, how do you know the difference between the two voices? Okay, I'm hearing two voices, but how do I know which one is the evil flesh's voice and which one is the Spirit's voice speaking to me? And that's really where a daily study of God's word, a daily study of God's good law comes in. We constantly need to be studying his word, his good law, so that we can discern and know which one is the flesh's voice speaking and which one is the spirit, your spirit's voice speaking to you. And that's where a good study of God's word comes from. And so the spirit really echoes the law, the good law from God, which echoes the Holy Spirit's voice. I'll say that again. Your spirit, your new spirit, which speaks quietly, echoes the law of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so the more you study God's word, the more you study the law, the more you'll be able to discern which voice is speaking to you. Now, that's the first one, is just hear both voices and know what your spirit is saying to you. The second one, you could probably guess, second step of the cure is simply to just listen to your spirit. Ignore the flesh. Forget about what the flesh is saying to you, and just ask God to give you the strength to just listen to your spirit's voice and the Holy Spirit speaking through your spirit. Just listen to the spirit. So if you'll flip over with me to Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, we'll see the Apostle Paul, he gives this very instruction. Ignore the flesh and just listen to the other voice, your spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So if you flip over to Galatians chapter 5, it says this. Apostle Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, with a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, or live in the Spirit. He is speaking through your spirit with a little s. He's speaking to you, so live in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit, he says in other places. Just listen to your spirit, not the flesh. Ignore it. Goes on to say this, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. And Mr. Hyde, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. There's a war, a constant war going on within us. We may not realize it, but it's waging within you, so that you do not do whatever you want to do. Don't do whatever you feel like doing, because when you do what you feel like doing, that's listening to the flesh. And if you're just hearing one voice, again, chances are you're just listening to the flesh's voice. You have to hear both voices and listen to Apostle Paul's instruction, really God speaking through him. Ignore the flesh. Have that discipline and listen instead just to what your spirit is saying. And the Holy Spirit, again, speaking through your spirit. I think this chart is really helpful. My dad sends me like a couple dozen, sometimes 100 emails. He's retired. I think he just sits around and just surfs the internet and just sends me like 100 emails. And I can't read all of them, but this is one that I did read from him. It's from this one Bible study. It's a chart that describes the difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person. But really, if you look closely at it, it's really the difference between somebody who's living in the flesh versus somebody, a Christian, who is living in the spirit. So I just want to go through these. These are actually really helpful. So an unsuccessful person, it says, watches TV every single day. That's what the flesh loves, to be entertained all the time. But a successful person reads every day, especially the Bible, but also all that good material, all those good books that help you to grow in your faith and your love for the Lord. All that stuff that if you actually put it up on TV, nobody would watch it. It'd be so boring, people would change a channel. And so that's the difference between someone also who's living in the flesh and someone who's living in the spirit. Another one is people who are living in the flesh criticize. Unsuccessful people go around criticizing others, maybe slandering, starting rumors, putting people in negative light. But people who are successful and living in the spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit are constantly encouraging other people and complimenting other people, being very positive. That's what you do when you're listening to the Holy Spirit. Unsuccessful people, again, fear change, but successful people embrace change. They have the faith. They know that change is going to come. They know that God is in control, and so we're having to just embrace that change that we know is going to come. Another one is unsuccessful people hold grudges, are unable to forgive. But successful people can freely forgive, knowing how much Christ has forgiven us, living the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, just freely forgive other people. Unsuccessful people, again, also just talk about people, whereas successful people talk about ideas, especially those given to us from Scripture and our vision of the future, things from God, talking about concepts and ideas from the Lord. Unsuccessful people, just going on just a few more, these are really helpful. Unsuccessful people think that they know it all. You might know somebody like that. They're very prideful. Maybe they're studying a lot, but their head's getting bigger and bigger. They just have this pride about them. They think that they're better than other people. Successful people, on the other hand, they know there's a huge, infinite body of knowledge out there that they don't know. They have this humility about them, and so they're constantly wanting to learn and read more and more, read Scripture. Unsuccessful people blame others for the problems that they have, whereas successful people who are listening to the Holy Spirit, living in the Spirit, listening to their own spirit, just accept responsibility for all of their failures. That's it. It's just them. Not other people's faults. It's just them and them alone. Unsuccessful people, last one, the very last one, have a sense of entitlement, privilege, because they've been there longer, they're older, they have a certain race, they graduated from a certain school, whatever it may be. There's a sense of entitlement there, but successful people listening to the Holy Spirit are humble, and they are just overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness to God, but not just to God, but all the people that He uses around them. Overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude, and you can hear it in their conversations and the things that they say. Just so grateful to the Lord and to people as well. So hopefully that's helpful. And just discerning and seeing the difference between someone who's living the flesh and someone who's living the spirit. And we're constantly going back and forth, but God says, just be someone who just lives, stays within your spirit. Forget about the flesh. So those are the first two. The third one is the most powerful step. It's the third, but it's the most important step. And that is to allow the gospel to draw you closer and closer to God. Allow the gospel to be used by the Holy Spirit to draw you closer and closer to God. And if you do that, that will put away Mr. Hyde in the flesh, that'll overcome him, and it'll allow you to grow in your faith, your Godwardness, your godliness, and in your love for the Lord. And I just want to explain this a little bit. Most people don't realize this, but you can divide all of Scripture, the whole Bible, into two parts. Not just the Old Testament, New Testament, but you can divide all of Scripture into two parts: the law, God's good law, and the gospel. Everything, every verse, everything, every concept can go in one of those two categories. Now, the law is what God requires of you. That's what he demands. That's what he wants from his loving children. But the gospel is God's gracious provision for whenever we fail to obey and uphold God's good law. Now, just one thing that we need to know is that there is no power at all in the law. And some preachers and teachers don't realize this, and so they're constantly just preaching the law, what God requires of us. But we need to preach also the gospel, because it's the gospel that the Holy Spirit uses to actually grow us in our love for him, to live that successful life that God wants you to live, in his eyes, successful, and to overcome the flesh. And I want to give one final example, a story from my own life of how this all comes together, how it all works. A few years ago, this one student came to me at my previous church, and I didn't really know him that well at that time, but he came to me, and he was just so broken. In fact, he was crying. He was in tears because he says, I have a sin that I'm struggling with, an addiction, in fact. I've been trying so hard for so many months that I haven't been able to overcome it, and I know that God is angry with me. He said, I'm addicted to alcohol. Every single night, the bottle just calls my name. I say to myself, I'm not going to do it, but the bottle calls my name, and I end up just doing it. I get drunk every single night. It's just become a habit, something that I do every single day. I know God is angry with me. And so I just asked this question, and I said, oh, do you realize that it's not the bottle that's calling to you, but it's actually your flesh, your evil flesh that's calling toward the alcohol? And he was drinking some really hard stuff every single night. And he said, yeah, I realize that it's an idol in my life because I really depend on that alcohol, that hard liquor. And to tell you the truth, even though I'm a Christian, I knew he was, he said, I really enjoy. In that moment, I enjoy the alcohol way more than God. And I know it's a sin in my life and it's become an addiction, but I say to myself every single night, I'm not going to drink ever again. I'm done. But then the very next day, I find myself doing it again. He was going through that whole cycle. And I said, well, why don't you try this? I explained the flesh, and I said, well, you also have a spirit, a very powerful spirit. And so there's, in those moments where you feel tempted, just pray and ask God with your addiction, with the struggle with sin, just pray and ask God that he would give you the strength to hear your spirit. Your spirit is saying to you, you don't need this idol in your life. You don't have to drink. And so just listen to your spirit that just wants to enjoy God instead. And so he agreed to meet several times more, and he came back a few weeks later, and I asked him, so how did it go? And he said, well, terrible. I listened to what you said, and every single night I prayed and I asked God to give me the strength to listen to my spirit and not to my flesh at all, but I ended up failing again. And so I know that God is just angry with me. I've been feeling like this for a year now. I know he's mad at me, and he's probably abandoned me. So you're like my last ditch effort in overcoming this addiction in my life. And so I said, well, what do you do when you fail? He said, I just beat myself up because I know that God has abandoned me. I know he's angry with me. And so I said this. I said, well, why don't you just try this? Instead of beating yourself up, just give thanks to God. Spend some time giving thanks to him. And I remember he got really angry at that point. His eyebrows went down. He said, what are you talking about? Give thanks. I mean, God is angry with me, and what am I supposed to give thanks for? And he said, well, give thanks that God's not angry with you, that he loves you perfectly because of who you are in Christ. You're covered by the righteousness of Christ. And as Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even though you're sinning against him over and over again, he is our gracious, loving Father who just loves you perfectly. He loves you amazingly as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't even love you any less when you sin. So just spend some time giving thanks. And he thought about it. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And so for the next few weeks, he set out to give thanks and allow the gospel to draw him to God, even though he didn't realize that that's what he was doing, even when he sinned. So he came back to my office a few weeks later, and I said, well, how did it go? And he said, well, actually, it was very interesting, because for the first week and a half, I kept on sinning against God, but instead of beating myself up and thinking that God's angry with me, I did what you said, I just gave thanks to God for his forgiveness. And it was weird because it was so hard to actually give thanks to God and think about how much he loves me when I just proved myself to be unfaithful to him. But I did it, And I think the Holy Spirit was really working in my heart, because about halfway through, he said I had no urge actually to have any kind of alcohol at all. And so for the next week and a half, he said that he didn't drink. He said there's one time that he failed, but he said even after he failed, he just gave thanks to the Lord. But the Lord used his gratitude, his gratefulness for the gospel and for what Christ has done and suffering down the cross and taking that sin and nailing it to the cross to drive him to greater obedience. And it was amazing that within a short period of time, just 3 weeks, he had no urge to drink alcohol at all. And we would say, like, that's impossible. That doesn't happen. Look at all the people who are addicted. But I think that for all those people, a lot of them, they're just trying to use the law and their own willpower rather than allowing the gospel of Jesus Christ and gratitude and grace to drive them to obedience. And the amazing thing is he never went back to being addicted to alcohol. And in fact, to this very day, I still catch up with him. He drives all the way out here. I meet with him. But to this very day, he's not addicted to alcohol at all, to that sin at all. And he's even helping college students today. He's helping to run this ministry. And he said that it's amazing. It's really sad. Almost every one of them is addicted to something, to alcohol or drugs or pornography or something. So he's really dedicated his life to helping other people use the gospel to draw them closer and closer to God. He said the only problem is that after overcoming that addiction, the Holy Spirit has revealed to him 10 other addictions that he has. But here's the thing. Aren't we all addicted to something? Aren't we all addicted to some kind of sin? Hopefully you weren't listening to that story, true story, and saying, man, that guy, that Christian's got some real problems. Unlike me, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty righteous even apart from Christ. I don't even need the righteousness of Christ to cover over me. I sin. I make mistakes a few times here and there. But I'm not addicted to anything. But I think if we think about it, we're all addicted to different sins, probably many different idols within our hearts. Maybe for you, it's not the addiction to anything that's culturally unacceptable, like drinking or drugs, but maybe it's an addiction to money or to some shiny material thing that really gets you excited. In fact, if you realize, think about it, you realize you enjoy that shiny thing, money, more than God and trust in it more than God. Maybe for you, it's wanting to be liked and accepted by other people. Maybe even having other people look up to you. That's something that you even think about and even strategize about. Or maybe for you, it's just entertainment. You realize that you actually enjoy watching TV or sports or playing sports, video games more than God. And maybe that for you is an addiction. Those are culturally acceptable, even within the church. But they're still, according to God's scripture, according to his law, those are idols and addictions that in some ways are worse than addictions to alcohol. But if you would just allow the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to use the gospel to draw you closer to God, to transform your guilt into gratitude, then he will use the gospel and use your gratitude to drive you to greater obedience. He promises to do that. And our hope and our prayer is that we would be a church that's centered on the gospel and centered on Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before you as a very sinful people. Lord, we thank you for giving us, though, your Holy Spirit and for giving us your very powerful new spirit, new heart within us. Help us to hear your Holy Spirit speaking through our spirits, Lord. But Lord, we pray that we would be a people that constantly come before you, recognizing our shortcomings, that our addictions, Lord, to sin, come before you humbly, but that you would allow us, empower us to use your gospel to become more and more grateful and to know just how much you love us because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to preach the gospel to ourselves every single day and out of gratitude to grow in our love for you and our love to be obedient to you and our faithfulness to you and our desire to glorify you as well. Lord, help us to hear our spirits now that just love to worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.